It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where we continue to be swaddled in a foggy mist, and there's a light rain falling. Out at the airport, they are back down to 3 miles of visibility. They are still showing 96% humidity and easterly winds at 17 miles per hour. The Weather Service is calling for rain for the rest of the day, and rain is likely tonight too. 40% chance of rain tomorrow. Southeast winds to 15 today, turning to the east tonight and back to the southeast tomorrow, but not amounting to much, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Coming up on the Midday Report, a former Homer judge has been charged with perjury. She's made her first court appearance. The Homer Police Department has issued an alert for people about drinks being spiked at local bars. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled state courts have the power to review redistricting plans and election laws passed by state lawmakers. NPR's Hanzi Lo Wang reports the ruling rejects a once-fringe legal theory that many court watchers feared could have destabilized upcoming elections.
Chief Justice John Roberts joined fellow conservative justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett, as well as the court's three liberal justices, in a 6-3 decision for the case known as Moore v. Harper. Their majority ruling rejects the idea known as the independent state legislature theory and confirms that state courts and state constitutions can act as checks and balances to congressional redistricting plans and laws about federal elections made by state lawmakers. This ruling brings a big sigh of relief to many election watchers who feared the high court's endorsement of the theory could have led to more lawsuits and open legal questions about the 2024 elections. Hanzi Lo Wang, NPR News.
President Biden's taking his so-called Bidenomics on the road tomorrow. He heads for Chicago to heavily promote the steps that he says his administration took to bring down the jobless rate and strengthen the entire economy. Al Reinert's director of the National Economic Council.
The president is going to talk about the importance of promoting competition, both to lower costs and to provide a level playing field for small businesses by doing things like getting rid of non-compete clauses, bringing down costs from insulin to hearing aids, and focusing on junk fees.
Lil Brenner, director of the National Economic Council, a key measurement of consumer confidence rose to its highest level in more than a year, suggesting Americans are feeling more confident about the economy. But in the wake of inflation, recent polling reveals many people still have doubts about President Biden's handling of the U.S. economy. Russian President Vladimir Putin is thanking his security forces for defending Moscow following a short-lived weekend insurrection against the military by the Wagner mercenary group. NPR's Charles Maines reports from Moscow. The celebration came amid reports the head of the uprising was now in exile.
Speaking to several thousand security personnel at a ceremony inside the Kremlin walls, President Putin praised his forces for preventing Russia from descending into what he said could have been civil war. Putin also marked the sacrifice of Russian servicemen killed amid fighting with the mercenaries. Putin's defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, whose removal from power was a key demand of Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin, was present for the ceremony. Meanwhile, the Kremlin's ally, President Alexander Lukashenko of Belarus, ended days of speculation on the whereabouts of Prigozhin, confirming the Wagner leader was now in the Belarusian capital, Minsk, as part of a brokered amnesty deal. Charles Maines, NPR News, Moscow.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average has closed up 212 points, or more than 0.5%, to end the day at 33,926. It's NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. A former Homer judge charged with perjury made his first court appearance on June 23rd to a packed courtroom of advocates who believe there is widespread corruption in the Alaska court system. KDLL's Riley Board was at the arraignment and has this story.
Former Judge Margaret Murphy, her attorney Jeffrey Robinson, and Special Prosecutor Clint Campion are all appearing in the Kenai Courthouse remotely. But the courtroom itself is packed. More than 50 members of the public, including two legislators, fill every seat of the small courtroom and stand in the aisle. Murphy was charged with one felony perjury count by a Kenai grand jury in May. The charges appear to be related to the case of David Haig, a Soldana man who faced charges for unlawful hunting in 2004. Murphy was the judge in that trial, and Haig has long accused her of conspiring against him in the case after she took a ride with the main witness, a state trooper. Murphy asked for the ride to get a drink from a convenience store in the small town of McGrath, where the trial was being held. Haig's case has sparked a group of advocates who support the rights of grand juries to investigate corruption in the state court system and speak frequently at borough hearings. A large group of those supporters showed up for Murphy's arraignment Friday morning, along with state representatives Ben Carpenter and Sarah Vance.
This is an arraignment. The purpose of an arraignment is simply to advise the defendant about the charges, to make sure that she's got a copy of the charges, take a plea, and figure out what the next steps are going to be.
Judge Thomas Matthews, an Anchorage judge assigned to the case after all three Kenai Superior Court judges recused themselves, explains the purpose of the hearing. Robinson, Murphy's attorney, quickly enters a not guilty plea, and Matthews explains the charges.
I need to tell you, because this is a Class B felony, Ms. Murphy, the maximum penalty is 10 years in jail and a $100,000 fine. Given your background, I'm sure you're aware of these. Again, I'm going to enter.
Campion, the prosecutor, does not set bail and just requests that Murphy make all court appearances and stay in contact with her attorney. Outside the courthouse, Haig says the arraignment means a lot to him and the other attendees.
I think this is validation for the Alaska public that indeed there is something wrong, and it may be very, very wrong.
Some supporters drove as far as Talkeetna for the 10-minute hearing. After gathering outside the courthouse for some conversation, the grand jury advocates headed to a pre-planned celebration at a local Mexican restaurant. Murphy's next appearance is set for August 11th at 10 a.m. in the Kenai Courthouse. In Kenai, I'm Riley Board.
Earlier this spring, the Homer Police Department issued an alert on social media that they'd had several reports from bar patrons about drinks being spiked at local bars. Advocates say it's an ongoing problem in Homer and urge more public awareness. KBBI's Corinne Smith has this report.
The Homer Police Department's Facebook post warned they'd had recent reports from people having one to two drinks, then feeling completely inebriated with memory lapses, headaches, and pain. The post elicited over 100 comments from concerned residents sharing outrage, warnings, and tips for protecting drinks. Officer Kellen Stock says the department has had anecdotal reports in the past of date rape drugging, or what's known as roofing, but they noticed an uptick in the last few months.
So we started looking into it and pulled probably 8 or 9 incidents that we were able to pull from our records that there was a potential use of a date rape drug, if you will, or someone came forward and reported they got drugged.
Stock says reports have come from both women and men and have resulted in sexual assaults.
At least historically, that's been the reason for someone to spike somebody else's drink is, trying to find a more easy victim for a sexual assault, unfortunately. So yes, a few of these have been that.
Advocates and law enforcement say perpetrators prey on those who might be vulnerable and an easy target. And incidents are likely higher as many assaults go unreported. Stock says the types of drugs used to spike drinks vary. Commonly known ones are GHB and Rohypnol, which are tasteless and odorless. But generally, they're sedatives that suppress the nervous system, especially mixed with alcohol, like muscle relaxants, sleeping aids, and anesthetics like ketamine. Stock says spiking drinks is a difficult crime to investigate.
So, unfortunately, we don't have anything specific as far as a suspect or anything like that, because a lot of these are, you know, people with these date rape drugs, they don't remember what happened, especially if it's used in alcohol. The alcohol exacerbates the effects of that drug. So they kind of come in and they, you know, the common report is I woke up and I felt like I got hit by a train.
He says people can report incidents anonymously. Any information is helpful. Chris Fontaine is a clinical forensic nurse working in the South Peninsula Hospital's emergency room in Homer for over a decade. When someone suspects they've been drugged or are sexually assaulted on the Southern Kenai Peninsula, they usually see her. She provides medical care and does a forensic exam or rape kit and sometimes a blood test. Fontaine commended the Homer police for issuing an alert, but she says it's nothing new.
For the 10 years that I've been working as a forensic nurse, I've had every single year that I've been doing this job, I've had probably at least 10 reports of rape drugs or drug-facilitated sexual assault either being suspected or is reported by a patient.
Fontaine says there's no one way this type of crime happens. It can be perpetrated by a stranger at a bar or house party or by someone known.
Maybe a new friend comes along that they've never met before, or just someone that's not even friendly to them at the bar, but it is just with them, around them at the bar. I've had people, be abducted from bars and be returned. Their friends are looking for them. They're not sure where they went. They're pretty sure that they were drugged.
Or it can be by a new acquaintance. Fontaine says even on a date.
I've had people be on dates at restaurants and tell me that they were drugged and sexually assaulted. After that, just having real extreme blackout reactions to maybe just one or two drinks of alcohol that is a very normal, common thing that they do all the time.
Last month, a woman was attacked leaving a local bar, strangled, and sexually assaulted in the Homer City Hall parking lot. The suspect was arrested on scene, but the woman told police she suspects she was drugged earlier in the night. Fontaine says people might be speaking out more now because they feel safer.
We really always have hoped and strive to decrease barriers to reporting. You know, with the sexual assault response team working together with advocates, making sure that our protocols on privacy and serving patients are up to where they need to be in the emergency department and our way that we respond as a community.
Fontaine says it's never too late to report a suspected drugging or assault, either as a patient or anonymously at the hospital. Longtime local DJ Michael Hurd says he's also hearing more frequent stories of suspected date rape drugging.
You know, people are talking about it more. People are more aware. Their people are sharing it online a lot more. But I think there's a lot more of it happening. I don't really know why, but it's really troubling. And people, I can't go out to the bar anymore without people talking about it.
Hurd says he tries to keep an eye out and coordinates with bartenders and bouncers to be watchful.
And generally, when you notice something, you know, kind of shady happening, I like to, you know, step out of the booth, walk over to the bar. You know, if the bar owner's there, I'll talk to them. If, you know, if it's just me and the bartender, I'll be like, hey, you know, I see this guy over here being kind of weird, getting a little handsy. He shouldn't seem like she's into that, and, you know, maybe cut him off, you know, consider getting the bouncer to remove him and stuff like that. You know, we try to be as observant as possible.
Homer Police Officer Stock says law enforcement has spoken with Homer bar owners about the problem to raise awareness.
I think the most effective way is going to be a community effort and get bar owners and bar attendees on board with keeping an eye on everybody else's drinks. And as long as this, whoever may be doing this, persons or people, once they realize that we as the community of Homer aren't going to put up with this, then ideally they would stop.
Alaska has the highest rate of sexual assault in the nation. About one-third of Alaskan women have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime. Law enforcement and advocates say public awareness is key for intervening on this type of predatory behavior. In Homer, I'm Corinne Smith.
The Fairbanks College Rotary Club delivered another 31 bicycles to Delta Junction on Monday. The bikes are for Ukrainian families who have moved to Delta to get away from the war back home. Kids got most of the donated bikes, but as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, a few parents and even a couple of grandparents also benefited from the Rotary program.
The bicycle giveaway was supposed to begin at 4, but by then a couple dozen kids were already pedaling around Delta Community Park, test driving bikes. Middle schooler Alina Haidai had picked out a green mountain bike, and her mom, Tanya, chose a sweet white cruiser with a handlebar basket. Alina helped out with translating for her mom, but she could hardly contain her enthusiasm. Tanya smiled a lot, but was a bit subdued.
So, how do you feel about these bikes, guys?
Good.
How about you, Alina? Is this a good thing? You're passionate?
Yeah, good.
Are you going to go riding tonight?
Yeah.
If kids are happy, moms are happy.
Pamela Flory is a board member of the College Rotary Club in Fairbanks, and she's the main organizer of the bicycle giveaway program.
And this is mostly moms without dads and husbands and partners. Yeah.
Most of the husbands and dads are still back in Ukraine fighting the Russian invasion of their country. A little over 100 Ukrainians came to Delta early last year, soon after the invasion began. Flory says the bikes are intended to give the children a break and allow them to just be kids.
And it's just to give the kids freedom, to give them normalcy. Mm-hmm. To let them do what other kids are doing.
Most of the Ukrainians who've moved to Delta and a couple hundred others who've landed elsewhere in the state came to Alaska to live with family. Olga Barladyan's family came to Delta about 25 years ago.
I have still relatives, my sister and my brother. He cannot live Ukrainian because his age. It's so sad.
Barladyan's mother, brother, and cousin were allowed to leave and are with her now in Delta. Her mom, Lubya, came along for the bike giveaway, and before long, she hopped onto a kid's bike for a spin.
She have a heart problem from birth, you know, and it is good for her to have a bike.
It's also good because a bicycle will get her out of the house and around her neighborhood, says Svetlana Kravitz, who helps Ukrainians in Delta on behalf of Catholic Social Services. The Anchorage-based organization manages refugee and related issues for the U.S. State Department.
When you get this old, you can't learn the new language. Yeah. Everything is different.
Yeah.
They don't drive because back in Ukraine, it's all public transportation or walking.
Oh, right.
And so they're cooped up in a house, not get out, not speak English, not, you know.
Flory says that's one of the reasons College Rotary was glad to expand its bike giveaway program to include parents and grandparents in Monday's bike giveaway. She said the organization and its partners were able to collect and repair enough bikes to give away 41 of them earlier this month and another 31 on Monday.
The fact that we can give bikes to adults is really amazing.
Flory says it wouldn't have been possible without lots of help from partners like the Fairbanks Cycle Club, which collected donated bikes during its annual bike swap. Also, Fairbanks Police, UAF Green Bikes, Goldstream Bikes, and Off the Chain, an Anchorage-based bicycle collective. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
Pride celebrations took place across the world over the weekend, including in the community of Bethel. With KYUK, Sunny Bean has this report.
On Saturday, June 24th, Bethel Teens, the Women's Shelter, and the library collaborated to host Bethel Pride Fest. It's the fourth celebration the city has organized for LGBTQ Pride Month. There were hot dogs, outdoor games, mingling, and a feeling of community energy in the air. Zoe Schultz works at the Women's Shelter and helped organize the event. It wasn't the most extravagant pride she's seen, but she called this a positive one.
Oh, some of my teens were more dressed up. I think with Bethel, people are more low-key. I mean, I've been to, like, marches and protests in cities, and, you know, it's a little bit different. But, like, the fact that they just showed up does mean a lot, and that they're standing, you know, as allies or part of that community itself.
They started with talks from the youth group that spearheaded the event and from the library about their LGBTQ book collection. Then they walked in a horseshoe-shaped loop before arriving at the Lions Club for games and celebration.
And then we had kites and bubbles, and then we also had cornhole. We had a couple of games. So people were really into cornhole and the ladder game and just flying the kites, too.
The event was run in large part by a group of teens who are part of a youth group for domestic violence prevention run through the Women's Shelter. The group is for anyone from 7th through 12th grade interested in exploring healthy relationships, mental health, effective communication, and how to set boundaries.
It's all like emotional social skills they're really learning there.
The teens were in charge, part of planning the event step by step. Schultz saw empowerment in that.
It's amazing that the first Pride event was created by the youth in Bethel, Alaska. I think that speaks on like them wanting to have a voice and really making things happen in such a location with limited resources or whatnot.
Communities began celebrating Pride Fests in 1988, commemorating a gay rights uprising that took place in New York in 1970. Bethel's began in 2019.
I think cities progress faster. And then, like, with Bethel being such a remote location.
On all accounts, the celebration was a success. Schultz said a next step might be starting a gay-straight alliance club at BRHS. In Bethel, I'm Sunny Bean.
Signs of strength in the economy. I'm Nova Sapo with the Marketplace Minute. Consumer confidence improved this month to its highest level since January 2022. A lot of that came from sunnier outlooks over the next 6 months. More people said they expect their household finances to improve. This is an important indicator because consumer spending powers much of the economy. New home sales leapt 12% in May, the third month in which sales rose. That's despite increasing home prices and higher interest rates. The Case-Shiller National Home Price Index today showed a month-over-month gain, but home prices are down 0.2% compared to a year ago. And the Commerce Department says new orders for durable goods rose for the third straight month in May, up 1.7%. That helps manufacturers. I'm Nova Sapo with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by KeyBank. Learn more at key.com/tech trends.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Tuesday. It is the 27th day of June, the year 2023. The sun rose at 5:10 today, and it'll set again at 11:14, which will give us 18 hours and 4 minutes of daylight, a loss of 51 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 81 degrees. That was set in 2013, rather. And a record low is 34, set in 1947. Currently, it is 48 degrees in Kodiak with a light rain, fog, mist, regular weather. Out at the airport, they have 3 miles of visibility, east winds at 17 miles per hour, and they are hanging steady at 96% humidity. Speaking of which, the Weather Service is calling for rain for the rest of the day. Rain is likely tonight, too. High near 51 today with southeast winds to 15. Overnight low of about 47 tonight with cloudy skies and east winds to 15. Just a 40% chance of rain and mostly cloudy skies tomorrow with a high near 56. Let's check with the brand new Alaska Department of Fish and Game announcement.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 11, date issued 10 a.m. on June 27th. Cost recovery fisheries are scheduled to begin in Spirit and Bay Special Harvest Area at noon Tuesday, June 27th, and the Spirit and Bay Special Harvest Area will remain closed to common property fishing. Fishery opportunities in the Spirit and Bay Special Harvest Area will depend on the ability to meet local aquaculture association needs, and all cost recovery information may be obtained by calling 486-6555. The Iqaluit Bay section of the Afognak District will close to commercial salmon fishing at 9 p.m. Wednesday, June 28th. And as previously announced, there will be a 57-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Tuesday, June 27th to 9 p.m. Thursday, June 29th in the following areas. In the Cape Alatak, Humpy Deadman, Alatak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. And the following areas remain open until further notice. The Duck Bay section of the Afognak District and the Fowl Bay Special Harvest Area and the Waterfall Bay Special Harvest Area. Fishermen are reminded that in the Kodiak area, including the mainland district, until further notice, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are reduced until further notice in the following locations: in Fowl Bay to the stream terminus at Hidden Lake Creek, stream number 251406, and in Waterfall Bay to the stream terminus at Little Waterfall Creek, stream number 251822, and to the stream terminus at Big Waterfall Creek, stream number 251821. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart, detailed in Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations, and statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record-a-phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
And, mariners, here is your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. For today and tonight, southeast winds to 15 knots and seas to 5 feet, coming down to 4 feet tonight. For tomorrow, south winds to 15 knots and seas to 4 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, east winds to 20 knots today with 4-foot seas, east 15 tonight with 4-foot seas, and for tomorrow, variable 10, seas coming down to 2 feet in the Shelikof Strait. We have an outgoing tide. Our next low tide here on the east side will happen at 3 p.m. exactly and be 2 feet. That will be followed by a high tide at 9:46 p.m. of 7.4 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 3:45 this afternoon and be 3.6 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a high tide at 10:15 this evening of 12.3 feet. Tonight, the How to Drag class will be going on at A Balanced Approach. That begins at 7 p.m. tonight at A Balanced Approach. Learn how to do makeup and all things drag with their special guest, Sonova, who is visiting from Austin. Again, that's 7 p.m. tonight at The Balanced Approach. And the drag show is going on Friday. That's happening at Tony's Bar. It's for patrons over 21. And the doors open at 8, show starts at 9. There's a $10 cover charge. Again, that's the big drag show at Tony's Bar. Starts at 8, doors open at 8 on Friday. Kodiak Island Borough School District summer food program continues. Fresh and free meals for kids all summer long. And it's Monday through Thursdays, except July 4th. Otherwise, though, breakfast is 8 a.m. to 9 a.m., and lunch is 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. That all happens in the high school commons. If you have any questions, call 907-486-7448. They can even tell you about the menu. And Chiniac's 4th of July celebration parade is happening on 4th of July. Everyone is to meet at the Road's End lawn outside. The parade begins at 2 p.m., but their potluck begins at 12 p.m., and that will be held at the Chiniac Public Library. They're asking you to bring a main dish, salad, or dessert to share. The parade route is from Road's End to Silver Beach. Come join the fun. Floats, tractors, four-wheelers, side-by-sides, bikes, horses, cars, walkers, marching bands. Everyone is invited to participate and come and watch. The suggested dress is red, white, and blue. And there will be totes of patriotic clothing for parade people to wear at the Road's End. Again, that all happens Tuesday, the 4th of July. The parade starts at 2, and the potluck begins at 12 p.m. Muster at the Road's End Lodge. And there will be a celebration of the life of Dr. Gilbert Bain. That's happening at Kodiak College Saturday, July 8th in the Benny Benson Building. That starts at 1 p.m. Potluck to follow, so please bring your favorite dish to share. Again, that's Saturday, July 8th. Begins at 1 p.m. in the Benny Benson Building, celebration of life for Dr. Bain. The Northern Alaska Environmental Center is hosting a virtual run for the refuge. Run, walk, bike, hike, or paddle, and protect the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge between July 14th and 16th. Registration includes a printable race bib, and all registrants, regardless of location, will receive an iron-on patch featuring an art piece by Fairbanks artist Jill Ritchie. For information about all this and to register, go to northern.org/events or call 907-452-5021.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.